Hey guys, it's Scott again. Welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans. We got a good one for you today. I think a guest that a lot of you guys will recognize. But before we get to that, let's get to some of the sponsors that make this podcast possible and a lot of sponsors we love supporting here on the show. One of them is Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F Nation. That stands for Wake Up, Live Free Apparel, the world's next hottest and biggest designer brand. No matter what your goals are in life, as long as you are pursuing it, Wolf Nation is the brand for you. Follow them on Instagram, where they currently take pre-orders through DM at Wolf Nation, or you can email wolf at wolfnation.com or follow them on Twitter at wolfnation_wolf. It's only a dream if you don't pursue it. We're just really happy to have them back. Wolf Nation doing a lot of different things. They are taking orders for snapbacks and dad hats, etc. They're taking pre-orders and payments. If you want them, get them in by March 13th. They're going to be shipping out all sorts of awesome products. So Wolf Nation, wake up, live free. Now, we happen to be sponsored by two awesome breweries here in New Jersey. One of them happens to be Manskirt Brewing in Hackettstown, New Jersey, located in the old bank building. Just a very cool place to have a beer. Lots of space, cool murals on the wall, 8 rotating taps. So just a really cool brewery that is up and coming and doing a lot of cool things. They've got the Big Brew Festival in Morristown on Saturday, and they have Imperial Progress on tap. Soon they're going to be releasing an amazing 9% Baltic Porter Lager. So a lot of cool things coming out of Manskirt. Make sure to check them out. Go follow Joe Fisher at Manskirt Brewing. Now, further to the south is a brewery called Demented Brewing, located in Middlesex, New Jersey. And they happen to be a longtime sponsor of Verbal Shenanigans also, and that is Demented Brewing. Talk about murals. They also have some of the coolest murals on the wall and just a tap room that has 16 tap handles rotating all the time. Different things in the ton on Tuesday. Bottle programs, sour programs. They just released Silent, their single hop Montueca IPA on draft in their tasting room. And this Sunday they're going to release mostly Mosaic, their single hop Mosaic wheat beer on draft. You got to go check out Demented Brewing. They do so many different styles. Just very cool. Go follow them on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. That is Demented Brewing. Susan Robb is one of our sponsors out of Toronto, Canada. Susan works with senior executives in leadership development and also runs a business as a speaker agent. She's gotten us a bunch of the different guests on this show. So her and a woman out of Wisconsin, Kim Ward, they started this program, the Nepal Outreach Program, a couple months back. And they are tirelessly advocating and raising money to inspire and empower a group of women and kids in Nepal. So far, they've raised enough money to put 14 kids into school and have helped a group of ladies start a sewing business, making quilts. 13 of those quilts have been sold in over 4 different countries. And they're trying to raise money to get into the next phase of sustainability. It's just a really good cause, helping out the less fortunate there in Nepal, making some really beautiful products. So go check them out. Go check out their GoFundMe at Vimla, V-I-M-L-A. Really good call. So help them out. They help us out a lot. So, you know, donate a couple bucks if you can. Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer each week. We host trivia and craft beer bars and breweries all over New Jersey. Come on out, play some trivia. It's free to play. Win prizes to all different restaurants and breweries. So it's just a cool night out. Bonus item every week. You got to follow on Instagram to find out what it is. That is Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Now, today on the podcast, we have a great guest. You may recognize him from Jackass or CKY videos or Viva La Bam. You might know him as Chris Rab or Rab himself. Just a really awesome interview. Nice long interview. Go through his whole career, his struggles, his successes. Chris Rab is a really awesome guy to talk to. So, guys, with that, enjoy the podcast.
Hey, what's up? This is Chris Rab, a.k.a. Rab himself from Jackass and CKY and Verbal Shenanigans.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun. Yeah, I mean, their shenanigans are cruel and tragic. Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Oh, yeah. episode 190, I think. I think 190 coming at you hard.
Oh.
Nigeria's number one podcast.
Don't mess with us, man.
We are number one podcast among Black Panther fans, Nigeria, and Jamaica.
Mm-hmm. And not the movie Black Panther, the other one, the originals.
So, I boosted this post on Facebook to try to like get more listens for our interview the other day with Christian Okoye. And you could like target people through a post, like where their demographic is, where they live. And yeah. I chose like United States, Kansas City, Nigeria, and Jamaica, like because they were Devin Harris was on the bobsledder.
Yeah.
And I hit Nigeria. And over the last week, I only did like a small post, like a small amount of money. We have gotten hundreds and hundreds of likes on that post from all people from Nigeria. Like the names of these people are as African as it gets. Like, so guys, if you're hearing me out there in Nigeria, we appreciate all the support.
They must be like, oh my God, they finally advertised to us. This is the most amazing thing ever.
And it's funny because I thought it was like, oh, okay, I found something here. Because then I tried to boost another post just to get likes. And it's like right back to like normal, like no results.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever it is targeting Nigeria, I might just continuously.
Just endless Nigerian interviews.
Listen, we could be the official podcast of Nigeria.
The Nigerian Prince podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Send your money to us and we'll get you on the show.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before we have one of the princes contact us to send them thousands and thousands of dollars.
I keep telling you, there's no Wakanda. Stop asking me that.
So, guys, we are Nigeria. That might be how we start the show. We're part of the BS Podcast Network and Nigeria's number one cast.
I'm just concerned, like, the second place podcast is like a bunch of Somalian pirates that are going to come around here.
Well, it's interesting too because like we've been having really good weeks as far as numbers and stuff like that, but then we look deeper in the numbers and we're apparently killing it in not only social media wise, we're killing it in Nigeria, but apparently we're big in Slovakia. You know, we're big in I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of plays in Slovakia in the last 2 months.
I don't know where that stems from. I mean,
do you have like some Slovakian family or something that's checking in on you?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think the Buckaloos ended up in Slovakia, but
they Buckaloos have spread out over the years. Yeah.
Through the years, we're like a little virus. We find our way into societies, and then we take them down.
You are a virus. That would be an accurate description. But I guess we got to start off with the elephant in the room, buddy.
Obi?
the tiny furry elephant. Some changes coming up on the podcast here. Some definite changes and adjustments and whatnot. So why don't you tell the listeners our news here?
Well, after many months of searching, as you know, the very pleasant weekly I Got No Job update, as Scott just fell to the ground and his chair broke.
My chair broke!
What the... It's those Slovakian gypsies who didn't appreciate how you talk to them like that, Scott. Like, Scott is picking up his seat. It literally came off of the wheels, and it's just laying there.
What the hell,
It's literally
man?
Like a gypsy curse that just occurred here. I mean, I guess that's a way of saying, no, they don't want things to change here on the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
I'm currently sitting...
on the reverse.
We gotta get a picture of that.
Sorry, guys. So
we're trying to be serious, and chairs just explode in front of us.
This is not the first time that I have destroyed chairs, though. I have a long history in my life of like sitting and then the chair just falling apart.
Like, are you the one that kind of leans back on a chair and like, don't do it,
Maybe a little bit, but like when we did that podcast at Dom's place, remember the chair exploded.
Yeah.
I remember being at my buddy's house like back in the day and like breaking two of his chairs just sitting on them. Maybe I have like a disproportionate like weight in my butt, like where it is. So
maybe like the upper half of your cheeks are too meaty and it's pressing down on the chair, causing the back legs to like buckle.
Are you talking about my meaty cheeks?
I always talk about you, meaty cheeks. It's just the first time on the podcast.
Well, anyway, continue, pal.
All right. So after a lot of searching, I have great news that I am going to be employed again. The sad news is I am saying goodbye to the state of New Jersey. I am heading down to Georgia in a couple weeks and taking a position down there. I'll be moving in with the parents for a little while, so we'll be dealing with that. And we'll be, and then a few weeks later, the girlfriend will come down with the dog. We'll be staying with the parents, and hopefully eventually we'll be getting our first home together. So exciting things ahead, but sadly, I will be not face-to-face with you in the same room the Verbal Shenanigans podcast.
You know, a couple hundred weeks we've been doing this. 200 weeks, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, whatever, 180 weeks or something. Whatever. I don't know what it is. But
I started at episode 25, if I recall. So we're talking about
160-something.
165, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so it's going to be big changes. Not going to get too – we're gonna figure it out, guys. We're going to figure it out whether some changes need to happen or we need to adjust a little bit. But Mikey will be will surely be a part of this podcast going forward. So I will tell you that.
And
it's not going to stop. I will be doing this well until I'm dead. Well until I'm dead. I don't think that's an expression. But so we're not going to get like emotional about it and whatnot. We're just going to maybe, you know, change a little bit. We're going to keep checking in with Mike all the time. And hopefully we figure out how to do our guests and what how to interview our guests, not how to do them.
How to interview our guests. We haven't figured that out yet, buddy.
So what are your feelings? Are you what feeling kind of feelings are you having? Are you upset? Are you I'm sure there's some kind of excitement too to just to try something different.
There's an excitement. I mean,
what's nice is you're not going into completely alone. Yeah, you got family, which is great.
Yeah, like I went to a few interviews. There was a possibility of a job in Chicago, a possibility of a job in North Carolina.
Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Sorry, Buffalo.
But, I mean, it's twofold. I mean, kind of like I've leaned to before, I legitimately now see an opportunity to own a home of my own, which is something I never in a million years, unless I hit the lottery, saw it in New Jersey. New Jersey is just absolutely insane with prices of everything. Mm-hmm. They are the number one state to move out of for the last 6 years, I found out.
That's Chris's fault.
It's been both of them. None of them know how to deal with it. I mean, like I said, this is a state that all it does is to brag that we're next to two other better states.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. People here are great. I mean, I'm going to miss a lot of people. I'm going to be coming back a lot. So, I mean, I got a ton of friends here. But, yeah, I mean, as it's getting closer, I'm starting to feel it's like, huh. I mean, I've been here almost 35 years this day. So it's kind of weird just to say in 2 weeks it's over. And I can't foresee at least will I come back to visit? Yeah. Can I foresee coming back to live here? Absolutely not.
Right.
Unless there are some like insane changes with the state.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. You might have a job offer that offers you something in New Jersey and you come back. But, I mean, I guess the way to approach it is just to embrace it. And, you know, again, not going in completely alone is a big thing. Like, just having some family and somewhere to set up shop for a little bit is a big thing. And, you know, like, it's good. Like, you know, your parents getting older and you get to kind of connect with them again and live with them again and hang out and, you know, little small things. And
yeah, I haven't been.
Listen, it doesn't have to be the end-all, be-all move for you, but it you know, if it's going to work for a while, that's good. You know?
Yeah, and with technology nowadays, I mean, it's almost equal. You could FaceTime anybody. It'll be the equivalent to.
I'm not FaceTiming you.
Why not, buddy? We're podcast buddies. We're co-hosts.
We are. It's surely going to be different and surely going to obviously be missed and whatnot. But we're, you know, it's not worth getting upset about. It's just
felt alive.
It's just different, man. It's going to be different.
Now, I will say to put a little interesting spin on this. So I was cleaning out. I have a storage compartment at my apartment. And I was cleaning out some stuff. I apparently had Washington Redskins blinds for, like, window blinds.
You creep.
Like, I saw that. I'm like, when the hell did I think I was going to use these?
Or ever get laid ever again in your life.
Yeah, like.
Listen, you can have a girl that absolutely loves you. Mm-hmm. And they come in and they see a grown man with Washington Redskins blinds.
It's
a hard sell from there, man.
It's kind of bright in here. Can we bring down the blinds? No, no. We got to get this done right now.
Between the glass head you used to have on your desk and the NASCAR and Redskin stuff, you must have been a hot commodity back then.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing I found.
Hashtag lady killer.
That's literally. Two meanings, yeah. And then the other thing I found. I am one of the worst people when it comes to, like, yes. Mother's Day, yeah. And Father's Day.
To send out. Was going to end there.
No. To, like, send out cards. I found, like, 8 cards I forgot to send out to my parents, like, digging through stuff.
Just send them all now. That'd be hilarious. Like, wouldn't date them, like, years before.
Goddamn New Jersey post office. That's why I moved down here, Pops.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to keep this thing rolling. Mm-hmm. We're going to figure it out.
And we got some exciting guests coming up, too.
We do got some good things going, so it's not going to stop. And thankfully, through, like, social media and the internet, we can pretty much stay pretty connected. Maybe the audio might change a little bit or the structure might change, but we're gonna figure this bad boy out and keep it rolling.
And
so,
with any luck, I'll come up for a podcast here and there. Yeah. Or maybe like on location stuff, we can schedule it, and you know,
absolutely.
Do our thing.
So, in true Verbal Shenanigans, you know,
pantheon.
Well,
sure. You start with a P.
Yeah, I figured. You're moving to Georgia, so we got to get you a little bit accustomed to Georgia living. So you should really know the laws of Georgia.
Sounds good.
There's probably a lot of things you don't know about Georgia, even though you think you know about Georgia. There's probably some things that you need to probably follow in order to be a good citizen down there. So without further ado, I'm going to give you some laws that I think you need to be accustomed to.
All right. Let's start.
All right. So there's a couple of laws I think I need. I need to train you a little bit to make sure you're a good citizen down there.
All right.
So if an organization non-registered as nonprofit fails to register their raffle with the local sheriff, so you can't, like a raffle, you know, like a lot of things to do, that group risks paying up to $10,000 in fines and spending 5 years in jail. So if you're going to do a raffle down there, buddy.
So
be careful.
Limit my 50-50s is what you're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful.
Okay. All right. While Georgia operates its own lottery, it protects its citizens by making it illegal to promote a private lottery.
That was my new job. I was just going to be like, listen, if you give me 6 numbers and they match, oh, yeah.
All right. The term sadomasochistic abuse is defined so broadly that it could. Now, this is where you're in a little trouble, and you're going to have to do a little lifestyle change here, buddy.
All right.
It could possibly be applied to a person handcuffing another in a clown suit.
Oh, damn.
You better tell Izzy before she gets down there. Get rid of the clown suits. Get rid of the cuffs.
But she has this John Wayne Gacy kind of sexual fantasy kind of deal. I mean, I don't know how she's going to accept that.
All sex toys are banned.
What?
That's what it says here. That's what it says. It's probably not true, but it says weird Georgia laws. Maybe this is Georgia the country. No, I don't think so. Athens, Clark County.
Yeah.
Well.
Like, who enforced that? Who was the politician who's like, and if you elect me, every dildo will be moved out of this state.
We'll go from dildo to dildo.
4 more years. 4 more years.
I'm just a messenger here. You know, I can only read you the laws. I can't interpret them for you.
Well, don't worry. Izzy would be the one with the contraband. So.
Signs are required to be written in English.
Aw. I wanted to.
It makes it more fun if I read them like a Roman emperor.
Signs! <Sorry. laughs>
All right. It's illegal to strike a man on the back or front. I don't know what that means. So
I can punch him in the side.
Yeah, you got to hit him in the side.
Oh, my arms are all bruised up. Damn it.
No one can carry an ice cream cone in their back pocket.
I don't even know how to respond to that one.
Listen, I don't want to see you get in trouble, buddy, in your new place.
I'm almost tempted to get the ticket.
Frame that shit.
Yeah, I'm badass. Look at this.
All right, in Ackworth or AC Worth? Is that a town in Georgia?
I'm not familiar with that area.
Let me just look it up real quick. Ackworth, Georgia.
Ackworth, Georgia.
Oh, it's a town or city. So,
okay.
In Ackworth, Georgia, all citizens must own a rake.
So, if I get an apartment in Ackworth,
you better
by
get that
law,
rake, son.
I have to have a rake. Like, do I have to carry it at all times? Do I need like a picture in my wallet to you know
my rake?
Do they like pull people over? All right, this is a rake check.
All right, what about Athens, Clark County? I don't know if that's near where you're going to live.
It sounds familiar,
but you might
sure.
be traveling there. Yeah. Adult bookstores may not sell alcohol.
So only the children ones.
Yes, yeah.
Like the regular public
fun,
libraries.
AKA the fun ones. All right. These are all in Athens, Clark County. All right.
All right.
If you want to read your favorite book in public to your friends, do it before 2:45 a.m. That's when things get weird in Athens County.
That is one amazing book club that got in trouble.
Massage businesses may not sell alcohol on the side. What fun is that?
Yeah,
you're
man.
Relax.
I like my Henny when I'm getting, you know, my back twerked.
I like happy hour and happy hour. Yeah. Selling two beers at once for the same price is not allowed.
So do they go above or below?
Know. Do they make one like $8 and one $7?
$8.01. What? What happened in that? I'm more interested in the story
that
caused
these.
These
are all in Athens, Clark County. Right. Though being forced to close your business is bad enough, Athens, Clark County forces one to obtain a license before holding a going out of business sale.
A license?
Yes. So
a license to say I'm broke.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Goldfish may not be given away to entice someone to enter a game.
The actual animal or the cheesy cracker?
I'm thinking the animal, maybe like a carnival thing. You can't get
I figure they have a big thing against Pepperidge Farms for some reason.
Do you ever have a goldfish? I had some fish. I don't ever have a little
I
one.
I mean, I didn't know. My parents had fish, but it wasn't specifically. That's the Mikey fish. That's how I roll.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You see that thing right there, Scott? That's the Mikey fish.
Owners of mules may not allow the animal to roam around Athens unsupervised. So, if you're getting
so
mule
you gotta leash your mules is what you're telling me.
Be careful with your mules.
Tighten up that ass is what you're telling me.
It is illegal for one to make a disturbing sound at a fair.
Don't mess with me.
It is illegal for one to whistle very loud after 11 p.m.
After 11.
So whistle.
So 10:59, I can get my sweet tunes out.
You may not get drunk on the bus. I don't know.
Is that a drink? Because I want to get a big, you know, I want a cask of the bus.
Alabama slingshots may not be used in the city limits.
That's going to be my new nickname when I move down to Georgia. Oh, here comes the Alabama slingshot.
Be careful because no one may bathe in the Sandy Creek Lake.
Again, I'm just more interested with the guy who made that statute occur.
Against the law to tie a giraffe to a telephone pole in Atlanta.
I didn't know they had that many African wildlife in Georgia.
Well, don't upset the Africans because that's our new market. So please.
Well, I'm talking about the wildlife itself.
Okay, okay. Well, don't upset them.
All right.
We're the number one podcast in Nigeria. So.
Well, I mean, there's a few things in Georgia they might get a tad pissed off about.
In Columbus, no one may practice the business of tattooing on Sundays.
Not on Sundays. It's the Lord's Day. You know, you leave that ink at home.
In Columbus, it's illegal to carve your initials on a tree, even if it's on your own property.
Can I carve somebody else's initials for the fun of it?
Model airplanes may be flown so long as they stay on either private property or city property adjacent to the county morgue.
Yeah, but nobody owns the sky. That's where I'm getting confused.
Blowguns are not allowed to be used within city limits. That's how you drug half your women.
Yeah, I need them to be like 50 feet away from me, you know?
Cursing over the telephone is against the law in Columbus. No one may tease an idiot. It's illegal to wear a hat in a movie theater in Columbus.
In Columbus, huh?
Crosses may be burned on someone else's property, so as long as you have permission.
Yeah, I just want to point
again,
out, you
don't
said,
upset our Nigerian audience. No crosses burned.
Hi, my name is Michael Berlew. I'm new to the area. Would you mind if I burn this cross on your property?
To swim in any pond in the city, one must wear a suitable bathing suit.
Who defines it? Like, do I go to a judge for the answer to that?
Stink bombs are not allowed in the city limits.
I didn't know they check for that and rakes.
No person may be buried under a sidewalk of a cemetery.
Ah, Grandma!
Also in Columbus, it's illegal to set one price for two beers. Illegal in Columbus, too.
Oh, man.
All Indians must return to their shore of the Chattahoochee River by nightfall.
Like Native Americans or like India Indians?
Rocks may not be thrown at birds.
That's going to come up in a later interview, but still.
The erotic dancing is prohibited on Sundays in Roswell, Georgia.
So that's my favorite kind of dance.
On Sundays, too.
Yeah.
Izzy Berlew Erotic Dancing Sunday.
Yeah, it's NASCAR day. Come on now.
Cars are not to drive on sidewalks.
Oh, well, that makes sense, actually.
It's illegal to spit from a car or bus, but you may spit from a truck in Marietta.
Somebody had a really good lawyer to get that little asterisk in there.
Interesting, in 1969, only men wearing suits and ties were allowed in bars in Atlanta, ooh, Georgia.
They're very sophisticated.
So, nice. But there's a bunch more here. Chicken must be eaten with the hands in Gainesville.
Wait, with my hands or the chicken's hands?
I don't know. But don't wear a hood in public in Dublin. In Dublin, Georgia.
Dublin, Ireland?
I guess Dublin, Georgia. I don't know. The flooring is my favorite one. In Roswell, Georgia, buddy.
Yeah.
Just in case you're thinking of opening a little side business. The flooring of adult bookstores and video stores must be non-absorbent and smooth textured.
Well, it makes sense.
Ew.
Yeah. It's for, you know, mop qualities.
Ew. It's gross. There's a law in place for that.
Damn it, Jethro. Look what you made me have to do.
Well, buddy, I'm trying. There's more, but I'm trying to help you, like, at least get accustomed to Georgia before you get there. You know, not get yourself in trouble. So.
Yeah. I'll get in trouble. I mean, that's what I do.
So with that, I think we should get to our big guest today.
All right. What we got?
Were you a big Jackass fan?
Oh, yeah. All three movies are great. You figure they would get old, but they found new stuff to do. And obviously, I watch the series all the time.
Yeah, they never really got old. You always thought, like, it would eventually kind of, you know, fizzle.
Mm-hmm.
It was always funny. Like,
pain is just comical.
It was always entertaining. So from the original Jackass CKY merger, he's one of the original CKY guys. We have Chris Rabb, a.k.a. Rabb himself, coming to the show. I always think of him, the famous video of him crapping his pants while running down the street full speed because the George Carlin bit. So Rabb was part of Viva La Bam, part of Jackass. So let's give him a call.
Hello.
Hey, is this the one and only Rab himself?
That it is.
Rab, it's Scott Brennan and Mike Berlew here. Welcome to Verbal Shenanigans, and thanks for giving us a few minutes here.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks for inviting me on, man.
Yeah, no awesome. Problem. Are you still in Westchester?
I am for the very short future. I've lived in California for about 7 years, and then I moved back here a year ago to to Westchester, PA, and then now moving back again to LA.
How many people in their lives do you think have went from Cali to Westchester, you know, and then back?
Well, I know. I think that's exactly what happened when I mentioned I was coming back this way. People were going, oh, why?
They're like, you're okay, man. You're okay.
You know when we get here in California, right?
That out, too. So,
but yeah.
Yeah, no, my family's from this area, so we came back here. My wife and I are both from this area, and then but actually a lot of my work is out in LA, so we decided we're gonna head back.
Yeah, yeah. You originally grew up in Westchester, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I grew up in Westchester, PA with a bunch of the CKY boys.
Right.
So
let's get into that a little bit. I see these videos. Like, I was looking back at some of your videos today, just kind of, you know, prepping for an interview. And there are videos where you look so young. Like, you basically look like a little boy. When did you guys really start putting these things together? I know I've seen, like, a couple documentaries with Bam and them guys, and they're really young. But when did you yourself start getting involved?
Well, I'll say, like, we probably started filming stuff around 10 years old.
Wow.
And then some of the stuff you saw, I was probably about 12.
Jeez.
Like, you know, like, there's, like, the antique thing where I have, like, the buzz cut, you know, like, and, like, the braces and stuff. I was, like, 12, 13 years old right then.
That's young.
Brandon had this whole thing. Brandon had this whole thing where he was going around with like, baking flour and just like while people were sleeping, just throwing it in their face. So there's like a footage of that, and I'm super young. There's another thing he did with tying a bee like with dental floss and like flying it around, and like I was pretty young in that as well. But yeah, we grew up, all of us grew up together. And Phil Margera, Bam's dad, had one of his old VHS cameras and basically had it around to film Bam skateboarding.
Yep.
And that just turned into us kind of grabbing it and filming each other doing, you know, stupid stuff.
When you start to doing this, I mean, what was your audience? Were you just showing it to each other? Were you bringing it into school, just bragging about all these tricks and stunts that you're pulling?
Oh, we set out for world domination. We were just filming a bunch of dumb stuff for each other. Really, it was pretty much totally designed to make each other laugh. Like, you know, you'd be like, all right, I have this idea, I'll go film this, and then you'd just show it to like Ryan or Brandon or Bam or whatever, and be like, dude, this is what I want to do. Then we'd all go out and film something and bring it back and just sit in like Bam's living room and just laugh about it to each other, you know. And there was pretty much no intention of like really, you know, showing it to others. It was more just to make each other laugh. And then, you know, that's what led to Dan, like, had always been just kind of so much better than the kids around us skateboarding wise, and had gotten sponsored by a local skate shop called Fairman's. And through that, he had gotten more sponsorship, and really the first CKY video ended up becoming just a hodgepodge of all that stuff we had shot over the years.
Now, were you big into the skating too, or were you just like, you know, hanging around that?
Well, I did skateboard, but I grew up with like Bam and Mike Maldonado and Kerry Getz. So they were all amazing professional skateboarders. So a lot of times I'd be like, nah, I don't skate, you know. but I did. I just was nowhere near, you know, as good as those guys.
Now, I know these CKY videos started to, you know, of course, everything starts from a good place and get, you know, your friends are laughing. I know I saw a thing with like Phil. You said everyone would come over, like you were saying, and watching them. When did you guys actually go from we're doing this for us to, oh my God, maybe we can distribute a couple of these things? Or maybe how did you start to get a world, not eventually worldwide, but even a local audience to a national audience to, you know, eventually what we saw in the early Jackass?
Well, basically, it just kind of happened naturally, I think, like, through Bam's skateboarding stuff. we had always filmed a whole bunch of stuff, and really what it came down to is Bama had a company sponsor called Landspeed that he was skating for, and they were looking to put out a skate video.
Right.
And so instead of him like putting his skate parts to his other sponsor, which I believe it was either Evil or Toy Machine at the time, and instead of putting some of that footage there, he like held on to some of it and was like, hey, I can, you know, put my skate footage to this Landspeed video. And then it ended up that he had gotten footage from Maldonado, from Carey, from, you know, other skaters. And then he had so much of, like, you know, back catalog of all the footage that we had done over the years that he basically just kind of edited this whole video together that became Landspeed Presents, you know, CKY.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like a hodgepodge of a skate video and just all the, you know, insane stuff that we were doing. And so that was really what kind of got it to a point where, okay, there is something here. And then Landspeed distributed that in skate shops all around. So that started to create this little bit of an underground buzz. And that's when, like, you know, I started to notice, like, oh man, like I have clips in that video. And then people around, like, Westchester would be like, dude, you're in that video. And then you start to, like, notice, like, oh, people are talking about this thing. And I think, you know, that's what led to, like, we were always just into filming, so we kept filming and filming. And then the CKY2K was really the video that made us feel like we could actually, this could be something. You know, like, I think the first one was out, and you're just like, oh, that's cool. And then the second one, when the second one came out, everybody was talking about it to a point where you're like, man, it was, you know, that's kind of where the whole name Rab Himself came from, because one of our friends, Chris Aspate, he was an awesome skateboarder too. He was Hoof, like Hoof Pate, and that was what, like, we called him on the CKYCK. But he started referring to me as Rab Himself because he was like, you know, kind of making fun of me and Ryan, like when we went to like a party, like people were starting to talk like, dude, that's Ryan Dunn and that's Rab. And he goes, oh, there he is, Rab Himself, live and in person. Oh my God, we're, you know, there's a celebrity in the name, like just making
that's
fun of me. You know? And so that's like, it just stuck. And then that ended up being, you know, like a name I went with for a while. And actually, you know, still I have an Instagram under that, you know, because it's just, you know, that thing stuck. And so that was what kind of started getting you thinking, like, man, there's something that's happening here, you know. And then that's when, like, Jeff Tremaine in Knoxville had reached out to Bam. They had known him forever from the Big Brother magazine, skateboard magazine. And they reached out because they had been doing a bunch of, like, insane stuff as well, and so they, after the CKY2K, they reached out and got in touch with us, and that was when we kind of, you know, got together and started filming some stuff. And there was talk of this pilot for an MTV show, and we had filmed stuff probably about 9 months or so before Jackass had was aired, you know, like with these guys. And it was just kind of this whole whirlwind of stuff that started happening, and I don't think any of us ever saw it, that it would be, you know, successful, or that it was something that you could actually do. You know, it was just more or less, we did it to make each other laugh, and then it just happened to take off, which was crazy, you know?
So how long was it when, before you started to say, like, this is going to be like a career, this is going to pay bills? Like, I'm sure, like, when you're 14, you're a little local celebrity, you're still saying in your back head, hey, this is cool. By the way, I'm still going to be a policeman when I grow up.
Yeah, well, I mean, even through Jackass, like when Jackass started, I don't think any of us thought it would last longer than an episode, you know, like we shot a bunch of stuff and it was like, all right, let's see what happens. And it went on and then everybody was talking about it and it was crazy. But even through that, through the whole show, there was like 3 seasons of 8 episodes and I stayed in college and just kept doing, you know, what I was doing in school. I went and I would film stuff with him from time to time, but I kind of was like, you know, I don't know what this is. You know, like I think mm-hmm. being a guy from a small town outside of Philadelphia, I didn't grow up in L.A., so I didn't think in terms of like this ever being able to be a career. You know, like, and at that time, this was like 1999, 2000, where you're just like, I don't see this, you know, being something I can do. And then, like, as it, you know, took off more and just started to get really popular, and then there was the first movie, and the and then after the first movie, they gave, you know, they gave Bam the spinoff show, the Viva La Bam show, and that's when I started to realize, like, oh, this could be a real thing, because that's when, you know, you started to get paid, you know, decently, and then that's when I actually, like, took some time off of college and and focused on filming all the time, you know, because that's when it became real. Like, before, I was like, oh, okay, cool, like, I'll film some bits here and there, but and I was just always kind of wild anyway, so at college it was like, just turn a camera on, you know, yeah, some craziness,
something will happen.
And so then Viva La Bam days were pretty much the, when it was like, okay, cool, this is legit and you can make a living doing this.
I see those two shows as very, very different too. You know, the Jackass and the CKY was the here's a bit, here's a bit, here's a bit. The other one, you know, Viva La Bam had a storyline weave through it, and, you know, a hilarious show. But it seemed, you know, what was that like filming? I know I was watching the Vice piece on Bam the other day, and he said that's when things started getting really kind of out of control. And you know, what was that like? Was it like, okay, we have a storyline, we're going to do this for a week and just kind of follow us? How, give us a little insight into like how like an episode of that show would work. Like, how do you guys, how does that work in production?
Well, so Viva La Bam, like, the best way I could describe it, I think that's the way MTV would describe it. It was basically Jackass meets the Osbournes.
right.
So that was like how, you know, the show idea was like, it's going to be the CKY crew and Bam's parents. And so it was just, you know, kind of a natural evolution of what was going on with us anyway. Just, we always had a camera around. We always had stuff going on, and we're always filming something insane. And so the way that the show worked was like, we would all, like, Brandon and Ryan and me and Bam and Rake would all sit in like a little, you know, like apartment that they had, MTV had rented out with this guy Troy Miller and you know, a couple other like story producer people, and we would just spitball a bunch of random stupid ideas, you know. And at the time we were going pretty hard, so we were like, you know, either boozed up or whatever was going down, and you'd be like, yeah, I want to try this, and I'd be like, what? Okay, that's crazy. All right, and they would just jot down all of these, this insane, like, you know, nonsense that we were just spitting out, and then they would try to like mold that into some sort of story of whatever. It's like, you know, Rab wants to marry like a Russian male or a bride. So, how do we make that a storyline? It's like, okay, well, you know, they'll put it on a, you know, like they'll search it on an internet, on the internet or whatever, and figure out how the heck to make that happen. And so it would be just, you know, just throwing out tidbits of ideas, and they try to weave that together. And some of it would happen just kind of naturally. Like, you know, you'd be like, all right, we're going to be out here doing this. And then it would just break out into some like moment of like, dude, we should teach Don Vito how to dance. And then like, they'll be like, wait, let's make that a segment, you know, or whatever. And so some of that stuff would just start to happen. And then they would find pieces throughout just some of the nonsense that we were doing, like they'd find pieces of episodes in that. So I know for Troy and for some of those guys at the beginning, they were kind of like, what the hell is going on here? You know, like they didn't know how to film it. They would just like try. They were like, I remember like the first couple of weeks, they're like sticking like cameras on the ceiling. Like, oh, is this how to do it? It's like, what the hell are you guys doing? You know? And they're just like, well, there's just so much going on. Like, you know, like Ryan and I would be like sledding down the front steps of April's house, and like, and then Bam's like doing a kick flip off or something or whatever, you know, and like things are happening and they're like, what? They just had no idea how to like capture it all. So they started like doing stupid stuff, like putting cameras in the ceiling and doing things. And they're like, no, that's not going to work. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It was like, yo, just leave it up to like the guys that regularly film, Ryan G and Joe Franz and Roger Bagley. Like they would just be around us, and they knew, like, for all these years we had been shooting with them, they knew what was going down. Like, damn, Rap's going to do something stupid right now. All right, I'm going to go over there and get this shit filmed. And they would, and then you know, they'd see Ryan, like, climbing up a chimney, and they're like, what is going down? You know, and they would know, but the other crew in the beginning was just like, hold on, guys, we got to figure out. And it's like, dude, F off, man. We got adrenaline flowing. We're jumping, you know, and then you jump, and they'd be like, oh, you know, he missed it. He missed it. You know, they're trying to figure all that out. And I think it was just funny to kind of funny to mess with them anyway, you know, because you're like, dude, you know, they have no idea what's going on. And it's just kind of funny. I know one of the producers, right when he showed up, like, we drove Bam's Hummer right through the sliding glass door. And he was like asleep on the couch. And like all of a sudden, there's this truck blasting through the sliding glass door, and he's flipping out like, "What's that?" He's like, he had no idea. He had just had like a baby, you know. He's like this family man, just like who the hell are these idiots, you know? And it was just like fun. I think to just kind of mess with that.
Oh my God, I mean, when you're dealing, is it still fun during this time? Are you guys making a competition where you're trying to one up everybody, or is it still kind of like laid back when you're in your early days?
Yeah, the other thing I was wondering with that is, it like, are you, is there any relaxation, or are you always on edge? Like, I'm gonna get kicked in the balls, I'm gonna someone's gonna punch me, I'm gonna get dunked. Dude, like, it's gotta be chaos.
Yeah, it was total chaos. There's no relaxing at all. I mean, literally, like, because we would be up for like days on end and delirious and doing stupid stuff, and even like sitting in the edit room, we'd be like up forever. And then, like, dude, if you felt like you were gonna start to fall asleep, you'd just make sure, like, either get in your car, get the hell out of there, go somewhere else, and try to like hide under the shed if you wanted to sleep, like, and make sure no one knows where you are. But if you were just gonna like be like, oh, I'm a little tired, I'll just sit on this couch and take a little snooze, then like all of a sudden you've just got like an asshole in your face, like, you know, like farting on you. And it's like, there's no way, you know, like, there was no way to like get rest or just relax. You know, I even still to this day, when I see Knoxville, like, I'll walk up to him and like, he's got his nuts covered, and I just cover my nuts, and we're, you know, he's, you know, I'm like approaching 40, he's like almost 50, you know, like, and it's like, and you're still walking around like covering your balls, just because that's the mentality that it always was, you know. You could definitely not relax.
Give us like, I'm sure there's many, many that come to your mind, but is there like one stunt or one prank, like, through all this that you just look back and go like, oh my God, like, whether it happened to you or happened to someone else, is there something that you still can't believe you guys pulled off or did?
That we pulled off or did. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I think the shopping carts are always fun. I think that there is just stupid stuff. Like, obviously, the bull ring thing was stupid. like, you know, there's just stuff where you're like guaranteed you're going to get hurt. And you're just like, all right, well, let's go for it. And failure is good, I guess. You know, So I think I think like Demolition Derby with the rental car is pretty hilarious.
Awesome.
and that's a funny thing. And you know, I think they're just a lot of just nonsense. It's hard to kind of narrow one down.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'll say, like, as far as like getting hurt, as far as like stupid stuff, the one of the worst things that I hated was so on Viva La Bama, I was like messing with Ryan all day, just fucking with him, and I don't know. Sorry if I can't curse.
You can do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want.
But, but yeah, so I was just messing with him all day, and just annoying the hell out of him. And so then I'm sitting by this fire, like this campfire thing, and he comes walking over, like, and I didn't see at all, and full blown just shoots a fire extinguisher in my face, and.
Oh,
like, I didn't even blink because I didn't see it happening. And I didn't even blink. And then all the chemicals went right into my eyes.
I think I remember your face was like completely swollen shut, right?
Yeah, it was awful. Like, it was like that was the worst thing that ever happened because the chemicals went in my eyes, and then my eyes started swelling, and they had to get me off that island and take me to the hospital. And I laid in the hospital with these like things on my eyes, holding my eyes open, flushing my eyes out for like 4 hours, and they couldn't get all of the chemicals out. And so then my eyes swelled shut for 3 days.
Jeez.
My eyes were closed. Mm. And I just remember, like, throughout that 3 days, I was like, I fucking hate Ryan, and he's not my friend, and all of you assholes can go straight to hell. And, you know, like, that was, like, my mentality. And it was, like, obviously no ownership for how much of a prick I was being to him all day and how much I was fucking
right,
with him
of course.
All
it's
time.
Always somebody else.
You know,
yeah.
Right. but then, dude, it was bad. Like, I for 2 weeks, I had to go to these eye doctors, and they couldn't promise that I would get my full vision back.
Oh,
so it was like, I literally was, like, freaking out about it because I had this blurred vision stuff because there were still chemicals, like, in my eyes that they couldn't, like, fully get out. And so then when my eyes would be closed, like, it would get into, you know, whatever, and it would just... have all these blur spotty vision thing, and that was like just one of those things where you're like, is all of this nonsense worth it? You know, like not really, but no, then everything healed up and you're just back to the usual nonsense.
Yeah, the worst thing of all is if you go blind, it's easier for them to sneak up and kick you in the balls.
Yeah, imagine being blind around those guys.
yeah, that would not be fun.
Now, was there ever
sitting back?
Now, was there ever a stunt they act like the executive had said, absolutely not, we're not going to allow you to do it?
Well, you know, I did this thing that George Carlin talked about where, you know, he was like, you'll never see a guy taking a shit running full speed. And so I was big fans of Carlin, and he was like, Rap, do you think you could do that? And I was like, I'll try it, you know. And then so I took 18 X-Lax, and the funny part was like, you know, I took all these X-Lax, and I'm like, and everyone's like staring at me like, huh, are you gonna shit? Are you gonna shit? I'm like, I don't feel anything. I don't know. And then like, I drank like a half a cup of coffee, and I still can't drink it to this day because as soon as I drank that, it was like just rumbling in my stomach, and it was like, oh my god, grab the camera. And I already had the jockstrap on because pretty much for that entire summer I just hung out in that jockstrap, and like I literally went to the bar and drank in the jockstrap and like just walked around town like that forever, you know. Like for like 3 months I had that on and didn't take it off, and so like I get it, go out and do the crap, and like, you know, I don't know if you ever saw it, but it's just like as soon as I'm going, like I pretty much just had to let go. Like it wasn't like trying to shit, or it was just let go, and then it just exploded out. And as soon as it did, like it was like not too bad while I'm still running, and then as soon as I stopped, it was just all this wafting of shit smell like right up, and it was like about to make you puke. And so like we get in, and like I go over to the side of April and Phil's like house, and I'm like, I'm literally bent over with my asshole just fully open, spraying this hose down, like hosing down my asshole. And I look back, and it's just the neighbor and his little 5-year-old daughter just holding hands, looking straight up my asshole. And you're like, hey, how's it going? He's like, all right. Like, I don't know how I'm going to explain this one to this little kid. But so then it was like, yeah, it was insane. So so that one, I like, we did that, and the MTV was like, you know, there's no way in hell we're airing that.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, you know, like, we were like, well, why? Like, and like, you know, like, and so it came back that they had this whole, they had this written like exchange of emails where basically we were not allowed to have spreadable butt cheeks on air. And I just always remember that, like that dialogue, like, dude, that's hilarious. Like, just the fact that these executives had to be like, we just don't want to have spreadable butt cheeks. Like, and they're like, spreadable. Like, aren't all butt cheeks spreadable?
I picture them around like a round table. Like, how many people vote?
Yeah.
You're allowed to spread the butt cheeks AI. Yeah. You know, how many?
All right. So, how many inches count as spreadable? Okay. Is it like 2 inches? Can I do a quarter and a half?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that was ridiculous. And that was one of the executives were not a fan, and then that ended up on one of the CKY videos.
Right. Yeah, I remember watching that way back then and dying about it. It's still funny today.
Because that was like what the CKY videos became after the second one. The third and the fourth were pretty much just the stuff that you couldn't put on MTV.
Right. So you talk very openly, and Bam talks very openly now about some of the problems you guys came into, whether it's addiction to painkillers or booze. And did this all stem from just being celebrities and that nonstop like adrenaline kind of life and getting injured? When did you find yourself getting caught up in these things?
Well, I guess if I talk about sobriety in my life these days, like basically like I've been an addict from day one. Mm-hmm. So like I'll say that the years of Jackass and all those things definitely accentuate it,
right.
Okay it, and help it progress quicker.
Right.
But I was always that way. Like, dude, the first time that I got drunk, I got blackout drunk at like 14 years old, and I didn't even have dick hairs yet, but I ended up naked on the floor of my friend's house, and like his sister's the homecoming queen, just sitting there like waking me up, and I'm like this little tiny dick, no dick hair guy, like, hey, sorry, you know, just so embarrassed, because like the hottest girl in the school. That's the way I drank, just like right off the bat, first time blackout drunk, butt naked, sleeping on the kitchen floor and like embarrassed as shit, but so like I always kind of partied that way, but yes, like to answer that question, I think as the world opened up and just became our you know, like our party scene, like it just kind of allowed for it to just kind of fester and get even worse, and so like, dude, you know, you get paid ridiculous amounts of money to go to a bar and get drunk. Like, dude like me that loves booze and drugs and shit, you're like, that's the best possible thing ever. You know?
That's the best job. It's the best job.
You're going to pay me a lot to do this? All right. Yeah. You know, and so I think it just kind of, condones it and just kind of, just pushes you into that world of just going, hey, yeah, man, this makes sense. This is working out. Everything I'm kind of doing is working out in my favor. And so you do that, you know, but over the course of the years, it's like, you know, totaled a couple cars, almost killed myself in an accident. And then, I OD'd on ecstasy and alcohol poisoning, and I had beaten up, and I pass out in random people's houses. Like, I literally woke up in a family's house. I fell asleep in the master bedroom of this family's house. They had no idea who I was. But the parents had, like, I guess, went out for, like, a walk on the beach, and I'm, like, sleeping in. I'm, like, Goldilocks, like, walking in, like, oh, this bed.
This one looks all right.
Yeah, like, sleeping in there, and the kids are asleep, and it's like, dude, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, you get shot doing that, but, like, that's the way I drank and continued to drink like that for a lot of years. So it certainly spiraled out of control. And I think as time went and you know, and the shows aren't happening as much, and then all of a sudden, you know, the stuff is starting to kind of die down. That's when it gets dark and you just start going into your own little hole and kind of getting into a bad world of it.
Yeah. So what? How did you stop? Like, what was your method? Were you a meeting kind of guy? Did you do it on your own? Did you quit cold turkey?
Yeah, I work at 12-step program.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm in a 12-step program.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how long have you been sober now?
8.5 years.
Well,
oh, wow.
Good for you, man.
Great, man.
Good for you. But I want to ask I wanted you to ask you about on your Twitter your hope for today. .org and some of your work you do now since clean up. So tell us a little bit about that.
So basically, I'm a camera guy now. Like, that's what I do for a living, and I work. You know, work in the business, and I shoot all types of stuff. A lot of times I work on scripted television. I do some movies, and then I also do like documentary stuff, and sometimes I'll do the despised reality TV stuff. So I go around, just kind of travel the world with a camera. And I was down. One of my buddies asked me to help out with shooting this documentary in Haiti, and so they brought me down there, and I went down and worked on this show or on this little doc, and basically when I got down there, man, like. I just met the people in Haiti, and they were just such incredible people. Like, right. You know, like after the earthquake and all the stuff that they had been through, like natural disaster wise, and just, you know, political stuff and the poverty and all that. Like, to meet these people and to see how incredible their spirits are, and just how funny they are and how they're laughing and enjoying life, like. With nothing, you know what I mean? Right. Like, basically, like, they don't have anything, but they have everything. And I learned that when I was down there. Oh my God, this is like incredible to see how amazing these people are. When, like, you know, I've worked on like some big movies, and I'm sitting on the set, and like this little girl actress or little guy actress or actor or whatever are like, oh, like nobody did a Starbucks run, like, you know, and like whining about it, and I'm like, man, you know, like. That, like, we just sit in this comfort of all of this stuff in our life and then become miserable from having all those things.
It's true.
All those outside, like, material things. And I felt down there, like, I just connected with people that were amazing and the simple things in life, and they were just super happy. And it was infectious. And after working on that, I had kind of made this commitment to myself that I wanted to start kind of trying to help out down there and see, you know, what I could do. And so I came back and I was like sitting on set, and I was like, dude, better messing around on the like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all those things, and like just farting around reading stupid stuff. I was like, what if I did a GoFundMe? And so I did, and we raised some money, and we were able to bring that down. Again, my wife and a friend of mine, we were able to go down, and it was funny because I was like, I'm going to go down there and figure this out. And my wife's friend's uncle had been going down for 35 years, him and his brother.
Wow.
And his dad is who got him into it. So he was fluent in the language and he knew like everything about being down there, and so he was like our godsend, man. He came in and helped us and took us down there and showed us around again. You know, I had been down there before in Port-au-Prince, but he had showed us all around like the countryside and in Montwy and Saint Mark and Ronsonble, and so we created this connection with some really awesome people there, and we're able to see a lot of things that needed to be done. So we decided to start a nonprofit and start doing fundraisers and raising money and going down, you know, like at least annually and try to do it biannually, and help with building. Like we did a bathroom down there in a town called Ensemble. We helped with construction of a 6-person bathroom. They didn't have a bathroom, and so they were going in the ground, and then that bacteria was getting into the drinking supply, and then that was killing them. And so, like, dude, like, it was this simple little thing. But what's really cool is with the connections that we have and the people that we know there, we're able to do it in a way where it's kind of like the white man's hands-off sort of approach. Like instead of being just like, hey, wait for Whitey to do it, it's like, right. You guys have what it takes. And it's like the teach your man to fish kind of mentality.
Yeah, empowerment.
And they have what it takes to do it. And they get psyched on, you know, accomplishing everything and doing it. And they're doing it all themselves. And it's really cool to watch that and to be able to kind of just be a part of that. And so they built that bathroom, which has like really drastically affected the health issues. And then we were able to get a water pump so they could pump water from the nearby river to this irrigation system that we helped develop with them for their crops. And so they have like a, they had like a surplus of crops for the first time in a long time. And then we're working on some stuff at a school right now. And also have like a program to help get students into school, because a lot of students aren't able to get to school because they don't have the funds to pay for the year. And it's, dude, it's so cheap. It's like $200 a student.
That's crazy. You know,
for the food and their uniform, but they can't go get it and do it. And so we have some stuff like that. And I've had some friends donate to sponsor some students and just some really cool stuff that happened down there. And dude, I never would have known that I went down there and it would just change my life, because that's become a huge thing in my life now, where I'm focused on wanting to do, you know, as much stuff down there. And our organization, Hope for Today, is my wife and I started it. And we you know, our plans are, let's do, you know, the Haiti thing is really what got us going, but then we also want to do some stuff locally, you know, in the Westchester, Philly area, as well as in, you know, in Los Angeles. But just kind of our community around us and do that as well. But we have community, you know, overseas, and then also, you know, around us. And my wife is a yoga instructor and you know, does meditation and social. She does a whole bunch of social work stuff. So she's like all affiliated in that. She did a program, Africa Yoga Project, where she went over to Kenya and taught local Kenyans how to teach yoga. and then they did a bunch of like building stuff in schools and stuff over there as well. And so we just kind of have been fortunate to be in a position where we can help others. And I think that's like what, you know, really, I don't know, turns us on at this point, you know, and not to mention, I still love making films and still love doing all that, because that's kind of where it all started. And like I said, that's what led me to Haiti. And I just love a camera so much, because I feel like it helps you explore the world and it brings so much kind of right to your doorstep.
It's awesome.
That's great. Awesome. It's hard to circle back to getting kicked in the dick after a story like that.
Yeah, I know.
But hey, you never know.
from the guy,
but I'm still off where that stuff too, man.
From the guy who's running down the street dumping is now helping the world. It's I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
Man.
It's funny how life's journey is pretty hilarious if you have no idea where it's at. But dude, I wouldn't put it past me to take another shit while running full speed. So I still have the craziness in me, and it's like, you know, all aspects of it. But yeah, I still love to do just random nonsense. And I actually, Brandon DiCamillo and I have been talking about trying to work on a project together shortly, and kind of get on some funny stuff. That dude's hilarious and will always be, you know, incredibly funny. So yeah, we've been just kind of chatting about you know, a little future project with that as well.
I mean, I guess I'll have my last question, which a lot of people will be asking and all. Will we ever see a Jackass 4 coming?
From what I hear, no. I just saw Wee Man. We just went to the comedy store together a couple weeks ago, and it sounds like no. I hang out with Rick Kosick all the time. Mm-hmm. Sounds like no. I'll see Jeff Tremaine from time to time. I haven't seen Knoxville in a little while. I do see Steve-O. I saw Steve-O. Just I guess it was at the Tribeca film thing.
Right.
And then, but yeah, it just sounds like no. It sounds like everybody's kind of moved on in their different directions. I mean, you never know. I never say never, but it sounds like. But you know, everybody's busy, kind of in their own right, doing their own thing, and so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have that answer, but it sounds like no.
Yep.
But to me, I mean, honestly, dude, like, I think going out with a bang with Jackass 3D makes sense.
100%.
And just not having Ryan, you know, is kind of like, I think, like a thing where it's just weird. I mean, you know, obviously he would be a huge part of the tribute if you did it again, but it just seems...
Yeah.
Seems like, you know, 3, and it was awesome, and then, you know...
Yeah.
leave a good thing alone.
The trilogy.
Yep. Exactly.
So, yeah, Rab, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us a really awesome interview. I always consider – I was talking to a friend the other day because I was saying you were coming on the show, and we were talking how – You guys and your – this between CKY and eventually Jackass, I really think or like it's you are your impact is still felt, especially – I really think half of YouTube and these videos that people make, a lot of them you can stem back from like, yeah, you guys were doing that on a VHS camera and when Jackass came out early on. So many people are still doing, hey, we're going to film dumb stuff and, you know, get a lot of views for it. I still scroll through my phone and watch, hey, well, my guy gets kicked in balls with blah, blah. Oh, I'm watching that, you know? Like, and I think had such a cultural impact that I think it's going to last for a long time. So thank you for coming on.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And if anybody wants to go check you out and say hi or go see what you're up to, where could they go?
I have a Twitter, just Chris Rab. I have Instagram at Rab_himself. And then GreenGateEntertainment.com is like a little production company thing I have, and we have a couple little projects there. We did Brandon DiCamillo and I did this thing Hot Dog Casserole with this little DVD, and then we did another one Borrowed Happiness. So there's those things out there, and then Hope for Today, like hope4today.org is our nonprofit.
Awesome, man.
So you could kind of get in touch with me on any of those.
That was great.
Yeah. If you kind of think about the entire Jackass crew with everything they went through, you could probably make a really good like documentary / comedy drama from everything they went through. It seemed like,
yeah, like
all of them went through some demons and obviously the tragedy Dunn.
That was Ryan Dunn.
Ryan Dunn.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Like, you know, that lifestyle can't keep up. Like, you know, the adrenaline of that one, like, it's all about adrenaline and who can top the next one and what fuels, like, you know, craziness.
Yeah.
What
sure
numbs craziness? Drugs and alcohol and speed and
muscles.
You know, adrenaline type things. And you're right. You could see that, like, you know, 20 years from now, like them putting like a TV series up with like the inner workings of Jack. You know what I mean? Like guys playing those guys. But yeah, you look at them and they all, like so many of them, it seems like Knoxville might have been the only one to like kind of stay the straight and narrow road with drugs and stuff like that.
I thought he had an alcohol problem, but maybe not.
Maybe. But I mean, between Bam and Brandon, Brandon Novak, Wee Man,
Steve-O,
Ryan Dunn, Steve-O. I mean, that documentary you watch on Steve-O is, if you watch on YouTube, the one about him being like addicted to Whippets and nitrous, it's like frightening how bad it was with him.
It's crazy what he went through, man.
Yeah. So what an awesome interview.
Definitely.
What's interesting is too is he's looking at it, he's 37 years old. You know, like he's got a whole life ahead of him. You know what I mean?
Like, saw a lifetime with him.
Exactly.
And that was like, when was the last Jackass? 10 years ago?
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
And then you're like, he's 37 now?
Yep. What? 37. So he's got a whole life of whoever, whatever else he wants to do. Some people don't start careers till that, you know? Like,
yeah.
So, Rab himself. What do you got, Berlo? Anything before we get out of here?
I'm just looking over some of the many people who are liking our interviews. I'm just so happy. I want to thank people. I want to thank...
shout out time?
Yeah, shout out to Hawande Hangiar Joseph.
Yeah, he's a white guy from New York.
He didn't leave a profile picture, so I'm not sure. Of course, we want to thank Alawali Garfa Ajugungbabe.
Oh, he's a loyal listener.
Yeah, he calls you all the time. Who we got here? We got Shenufumi Aluwad. Dollar Poe.
Oh, he works at the Anawa Dollar Store.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been to that one once before. How about Da Mi Lola?
Oh, Da Mi Lola. We've hung out before, you know. In
yeah,
the bars
back in the day.
Nah.
That was your Detroit scene, if I recall.
Yeah, of course.
How about Turney Tope? Adulande.
Oh, Turney Tope. We used to get all turn it up with Turney Tope. That's what we used to do.
How about It's Sagacious Winston Wise?
That sounds like you're trying to say a sentence. It's sagacious when you do this. Like, me and Berlo hang out, we get a little sagacious every Monday.
Yeah. I'm trying to get these new words out. I'm sorry.
Well, Nigeria's a good supporter of the podcast.
Like Turney Denning.
I used them during my divorce. That was my lawyer, the attorney.
From the law offices, attorney of Denning. Yeah. This person is just happy boss.
Well, you want to stay on the good side of happy boss, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
But
maybe we have one of Christian's family who liked us, Victor Chibuki Okoye.
I was looking through I was going to post something today, but a lot of bald women that are like doing strong. Okoye was bald.
Yeah.
11 from Stranger Things was bald.
Mm-hmm.
The lightweight champion of UFC is bald. Rose Namajunas, she's bald.
Oh, okay.
There was someone else. There was another bald girl, but apparently bald is the new thing. Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah. Good for you, women.
Yeah,
we'll allow you to shave your head now. You know what?
Men instead of us doing it for you.
Yeah. You know what? Us men reviewed, we allow it.
But, buddy, you got anything before we get out of here?
No, I just wanted to thank all our good friends who liked the episode, and I'm getting ready for one more cast with you face-to-face, and then no more.
Nah, we'll do ones again, just in different settings and whatnot. But, it's there's a couple end of an eras here. Like, also last night, we had a show at Table 42. And we've done shows there for the last 3 years or so.
I was on the first one.
You were on the very first one. And they've been always great shows. And the audience has always been super appreciative. But they're turning the room into a pizzeria. So I'm not sure we're going to be doing any more shows there. So
great if you did stand up while handing out like pepperoni slices. Yeah, well,
it wouldn't be above me. That's for sure. So that's another end of an era. The audience there have always been some of the most appreciative people. They always come up to me after the show and, like, give me hugs. Two women last night were like, because I gave out a couple Verbal Shenanigans shirts last time. They were like, wanted to wear our shirts, but we thought it'd be weird. I'm like, no problem. You should have, but.
It would have been great if they wore the shirts and yelled at them, what the hell are you doing? What the hell? I gave you those in private.
So. Just very cool. They're like, we're going to figure out a way to keep you guys here. And I'm like, it was pretty. Pretty touching. It was like, you know, you go through some weird things with like ownership and running the show and whatnot. But the people who came out to those shows were always some of the most supportive people. So if comedy is done there, it sucks. But you know, it's one door closes, another door opens. So
just to review, it's illegal in Dover to have a comedy show. Period.
Yes. Did you ever see the Impractical Jokers they did in Dover?
No.
The punishment was they were revealing, Q had to reveal a mural that was painted in the town of Dover, and he was the artist, and he like lifted the thing, and it was like, Dover sucks, and stinks, and there's like a big poop emoji, and a lot of the people at the show that have been coming to the shows, like I was like, I know that guy, it's pretty cool, you should go check that one out, but Brother, we got one more week, so let's not get sentimental today. Anything to promote?
I will promote Three Songs Live. It's a video show done by our former guest and good friend, Kim Boyko. She brings on different acoustic and musical people onto her show. This coming week is Emily Witkowski. They do three songs. They chat about their music. It's a very fun show. Kim is very wonderful at what she does there,
Kim
bringing
is,
on different artists. And
similar to that, like on that topic, I think Kim and her band are playing our wedding.
Oh, look at you.
I'm pretty sure.
You and me are getting married? Oh, wow.
Me?
I'm not sure if I'm going to go to Georgia now.
And you, buddy.
Yeah,
so
can you look at the laws to see if we can get married in like Austin County or something like that?
So, yeah, I think she is going to do our our wedding.
That's
so
beautiful.
We are trying to set that up. So,
well, before the Brendan wedding, go to facebook.com/the3songslive and check out her show.
Absolutely. And I think I will promote, let's see. This will come out on Wednesday, so I will promote Friday Verbal Shenanigans show. A fundraiser for the legit baseball team in Maywood, New Jersey.
Oh.
Doing a fundraiser. Mike Gaffney headlining, Jackie Byrne and Mike Ciccoli and myself. So this should be a very good show. Guys, we can continue your support. We love it. We've been getting a lot of interaction, a lot of good numbers. So the podcast is in a good place right now. Things might change a little bit, but the same content will be brought weekly. So like, share, love, do whatever you got to do that helps us.
And you don't have to do it in Nigeria or Jamaica. You can do it in other countries.
You can do it if you want.
Yeah.
In Nigeria.
Well, either. I'm just saying, don't think you have to be there in order to have supporters.
But life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. We'll see you next week.
One more time.
I sing for my Georgia. Oh, Georgia. Get it hard all day through. This old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Someone of you comes as sweet and clear.